Good dog number 25, traditional Chinese medicine for dogs.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
When our dogs get sick, we take them to the veterinarian. Or, in some cases, we take them to an herbalist, or an acupuncturist, or a massage person. My name is Joanne Green, and welcome to Good Dog, the podcast, where today we're going to be speaking about holistic methods of caring for animals, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, herbal medicine, massage, and nutrition, with Daphne Livoni. Daphne, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here today. Daphne, tell us first a little bit about your background and what brought you to think about these alternative or complementary treatments in connection to animals.
Right. I was pre-med, going to Davis and everything, and had my own mishap with my back. Actually ended up having a surgery and didn't have much change with that conventional medical help, and everyone said, try this, try that. I turned to an acupuncturist and started doing that, and it worked. And I used that on myself and then turned around and said, well, who's doing this for the animals? And then I kind of turned my whole thought pattern around and started working with the herbs and the acupuncture and really looking at nutrition and a holistic approach to healing around the animal.
And you work in conjunction with traditional veterinarians, right?
Yes, I work at three different clinics throughout the Bay Area, and I'm right there hand-in-hand with a lot of different vets and specialties.
And how do vets know when to refer you to particular patients? Are these patients for whom regular traditional approaches or medicines have not worked?
Not always not worked, but again, a lot of complementary, you know, they might be on some kind of non-steroidal medication for some joint pain, and they get elevated liver enzymes, and can't take the NSAID anymore, and then we look to, well, it might be a good time to do some holistic, some acupuncture, some herbs, or something like that. So sometimes they're using it in conjunction. Some people now are turning more to, I just want to do something, you know, preventative or something that's non-invasive, and then save, if you will, the bigger gun medications for later when maybe I can't get quite the effect I was getting with something holistic. So it's coming in a lot of different angles. And the vets, you know, it's just up and coming in that they usually ask, you know, do you think this is a good case? And we look at the blood and we look at the x-rays and look at it. It's case by case.
And you work on dogs and cats both?
Yes, I do.
And you mentioned that you work in the Bay Area. That's the San Francisco Bay Area, where non-traditional modalities are fairly popular. Is this going on in other parts of the United States and other parts of the world as well?
It is. It is. It's definitely like kind of up and coming, if you will. Definitely along, you know, the New York and California, and now starting to trickle inside the states. And a lot of homeopathic's been used for years over in Europe. There has been the acupuncture used in China for, you know, thousands of years, mainly for their farm animals to keep them up and running and keep the crops going. They don't really traditionally have a lot of companion animals. But so it has been something that's been used for, again, thousands of years, but now it's getting widely used.
Now, how do you get dogs to calm down enough to stand there and have these little needles put in?
Right. Everybody, how do you do that? it's a dance, and every case is different. But usually, you place a couple needles in. It's very, if you've ever had it, I'm not sure, but it's been very relaxing. It sounds an oxymoron, you know, you stick some of the needle and they get relaxed. But
oh, no, I've had acupuncture, and I absolutely can attest. I have never been in a deeper state of relaxation in any other way or capacity as I have with acupuncture. I mean, that is a testimony from the heart.
Right. So same with our canines. You know, I do, of course, a little positive liver treat here and there and a lot of bribes, but usually I place a couple needles if they're a little anxious, put a little sedative needles in, and woo, they just chill out and start laying down, and I can get a good 20 needles in, and, you know, a few months, and then they're fast asleep. And it's beautiful to watch. You talk about a placebo effect, you know, they come in limping and walk out running. Hey, That right there, you know, it's stunning.
If you could briefly explain to people what happens when you put these needles in, how deeply you put them in, and why it causes all these beneficial effects.
In using Western terms, there's these kind of electromagnetic trails through the body. We call them meridians. They run between bloodstream and the nervous system. Nervous system's electric, bloodstream being the ions. So you get this kind of little charge in between there. And you take a little needle and you put it in between there, in this meridian, and it starts a local cascade of, you know, like white blood cells and everything starting up right there locally. And then generally throughout the whole body, it starts a cascade of your cortisol release, your natural anti-inflammatories, your endorphins, your natural painkillers, and the healing process starts that way.
This is something that the Chinese have been doing for centuries.
Oh, 4,000 years, yes.
So there must be something to it, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's bad.
Now, the needles that you insert are very, very thin, am I right?
You hardly see. A lot of people use little blade tubes because the needles can really bend and... it's not, when you do feel the sensation, as we call it, of the meridian, it's not at the piercing of the skin with these little hair-like needles. It's when it sinks down into that little electromagnetic field, and you get like a dull, achy, kind of warm sensation, like circulation starting up. I don't know if that's what you've experienced. That's kind of how I explain it to people.
So, Daphne, what are some of the different problems or challenges that... a dog might have that would make him or her a good candidate for this?
Right. I'd say 90% of the time it's musculoskeletal. You know, we just get amazing effect. They come in, you know, a lot of old dogs with the hips and the knees and the lumbar, and they've been using all the medications for years, and all of a sudden they're not working, and they come in and have a few treatments. Oh, it was amazing. The voodoo works kind of thing. See a lot of that. Also now I'm getting a lot of cancer patients and working with the chemo, keeping up the appetite, keeping up the quality of life, but everything in between too, Cushing's to the skin allergies, you know, you can work with the histamines to all the above.
And what about emotional problems? What about dogs that are a little bit too hyper or that become aggressive? Do you treat them as well with this?
I do treat them, and I would have to say success rate's about 50-50.
Okay.
Some of that stuff is laid down hard and, you know, and long, and some of the stuff, you know, we work with them, and they're, you know, doing other things at home also, and it takes enough edge off that we have a great success story. But that's, you know, and a lot with allergies too. So those two, they're hard. The allergies and the anxiety kind of stuff, those two are, yeah.
But you also do massage and nutrition. Tell me about that.
Right. I am a huge advocate of whatever goes in is the building blocks. So I do a lot of consultation on the nutrition, the supplements, the quality of food right now, of course, with our big scare. And I think that was a huge eye-opener to, you know, they should be eating whole foods. I'm a big advocate of organic. I do preach some of the raw in the appropriate case. You don't take grandma out for sushi. You know, you're going to start a really, I believe, really old dog on a raw diet. You need the enzymes. So do a lot with nutrition. I do, it's called Tuina. It's a mixture of kind of massage, chiropractic. It kind of, if I feel a vertebra out, it's more of a slight adjustment, kind of rocking it into place. It's another thing I use, one of my modalities.
Okay. And your background is that you have a Bachelor of Science in Animal Science and then also a Master of Science in Asian Medicine.
Yes.
Right. And so you're not a doctor, per se.
I'm not a veterinarian doctor. No, I'm a primary physician in acupuncture and herbal medicine.
For people as well?
Yes.
But you choose
anything
to practice. But you choose to practice on animals.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there some vets, Daphne, who are look askance at you when you approach them to see if they'd be willing to integrate some of these treatments into the care?
Of course. Yeah. And more and more, you know, it's the modality. I mean, again, it's been around 4,000 years. It's proving itself in the case studies, and they're getting, you know, and hearing it's not just a buzzword anymore, and seeing the effect and getting it more on board. But yeah, a lot of vets, you know, you can try it. You know, why not? Try the voodoo. You know, a lot of different reactions and.
And so, your website, if people want to learn more about this, is www.achancetoheal.com.
Yeah.
And that's how they can find you?
That's me.
All right. Thank you so much, Daphne.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Dog Podcast today. We'd love to hear from you directly. Please simply send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com. Are more and more people being diagnosed with cancer, or does it just seem that way as we get older? When you or a parent, your spouse or your sibling, a good friend or coworker is diagnosed with cancer, it's like falling down a rabbit hole. Clinical oncologist, Dr. Robert Rodvian.
I want people to understand what a cancer doctor can offer them, what's realistic, what's unrealistic. How do you take charge of your own life, but don't start making so many decisions for yourself that in fact you interfere with your own care?
Each week on the Smarter Cancer Care podcast, Dr. Rodvian will shed light on what cancer patients and their loved ones need to know. From the psychological impact to managing the flow of information, he'll offer compassionate advice on how to get the best care and maintain the highest quality of life. I'm Joanne Green. Join me in conversation with Dr. Robert Rodvian for Smarter Cancer Care. Find us on iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.